Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up? Welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, and along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is also brought to you by Locker Room. Go to Locker Room. Go to the iOS App Store and download Locker Room right now. Matt and I will be talking to you guys a little bit later this week about having our first Locker Room, and we'll have a conversation there, maybe even do a live episode. So more on that in a little bit. But Matt, how are you? Excited to see the Bulls pull off a great win last night. I said it yesterday, and it was just kind of a last-second comment, but I was like, if Williams isn't going to go back-to-back nights and build off of his career night, let's get Zach in the 30-plus club coming out of the All-Star break. And sure enough, drops 40, and the Bulls pick up a win. Was nice to see. How are you, man? And did you like the Bulls win yesterday?
Jordan, what's going on, buddy? What's up, Bulls Nation? Definitely nice to see the Bulls win handily. It helped my Andy Dalton depression, but it only helped a little. I'm still pretty raw today. Condolences to all my fellow Bears fans out there who are also Bulls fans. But yeah, I mean, this is another example of the Bulls winning a game that they absolutely should win. And if we're being honest, should win pretty handily. We've seen that twice now with, you know, the blowout win over a very shorthanded Raptors team. And man, this was like basically the OKC Thunder were putting out a G League roster pretty much. So, you feel bad for them and the situation that they're in, but good on the Bulls. I like that they got out to a strong start. You know, they had a 42 point first quarter. And then sometimes we've seen them take their foot off the gas a little bit. I like the fact that they also had a very dominant third quarter coming out of the halftime locker room and put this game away and didn't let it turn into one of those games we've seen from them occasionally where this game's a little closer than it should be as we near the end of the fourth. So good on the Bulls for putting this one away early.
Without no Al Horford, no Lou Dort, no George Hill, this was supposed to be an easy win, and we said this last time, and then they blew, what, a 17-point lead with 2.5 left, or 15-point lead. It was nice to see them bounce back. It was nice to see Zach drop 40 last night, and he did it with ease, man. And the Bulls came out with a punch, too. It's the first time in a while we've seen them come out in the first quarter and drop, what, I think this was their season high, right, 42? We haven't seen this much offense this early, but again, like you said, it was a G League roster basically out there outside of SGA. But nice to see everybody pick up this Bulls team, more importantly, pick up a win. Lauri Markkanen, his shooting was great again. He went 50% from the field, had 22 points. It was just a good win overall. Thaddeus Young, once again, starting, played only limited minutes, but the Bulls didn't really need him to at the end of the game. So this is one of those games, like you talked about, especially in the second half. As many difficult games that the Bulls are going to have, they got to pick up these easy wins. Games like against OKC, games against bottom tier Eastern Conference teams or Western Conference teams leading now into the stretch. You can't afford to lose those games like you were losing early on if you want to make the playoffs. That's just a guarantee. And again, bounced back from a devastating loss in OKC just a month ago.
Yeah. Nice to get the revenge wins. Those always feel good. You touched on Lowry. I feel like we have to mention his dunk. over Moses. Oh my God. I mean, how often have you and I complained? How often have we watched Lowry go for those poster dunks and come up short? He can't finish. He gets blocked. He gets bodied. That was, I feel like, you know, waiting to exhale. Finally, we saw Lowry with just a dominant showing of what he is capable of physically. I love to see that, but also just his solid game overall. Yeah, he knocked down 3 of 9 three-point attempts, so that's like, okay, not great, but got 4 baskets inside the three-point line and also got to the free throw line 7 times. That is what you need to see from Lowry if he is actually going to be a piece that sticks around and helps this team win. He can't just be parading around the perimeter and jacking up threes. He has got to show that he is willing to be more physical in this league. So obviously that dunk was a really, really great thing to see.
Thaddeus Young just doing his thing too, man. He was 8 for 11, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 17 points in 22 minutes. Like, he's just making it look easy out there. And I can only imagine if they add to this team, if Thad stays here, Zach stays here, add another piece to this team, the way that those two are playing a two-man game essentially out there, it's unfair. It's literally unfair. And Zach's capitalizing big on that and knocking down shots, and Thad's just doing his thing, man. This was the best move, though, so far since they've made the change this weekend. Short sample size, but I think this is the move, and this was the spark that they needed. Carter played well again off the bench. Kobe White struggled a little bit, but didn't shoot all that much. So again, I think this overall for the starting five was the best move going forward.
Yeah, getting out to a good start, an even better start against Toronto than against Toronto a couple nights prior. I think I saw that Sato and Thad combined for like 11 of 12 Bulls first quarter assists. Thad finished the game with 6. Sato had 7. I mean, for those who are bummed about Kobe and Wendell being moved to, you know, reserve roles, I understand it. I understand you're disappointed and you're worried, but there is no denying that the ball moves better, that Zach plays better, and the team plays better with Sato and Thad inserted into that starting lineup, or just whenever those two players are on the floor with Zach.
It's crazy when you've got two dudes that can play make. And I mean, Thaddeus Young, that's probably his strongest skill. I'd have to look up on B-Ball Index and see what his what badges they've given him this year and where he sits in the percentile of playmaking. I would guess that it's probably one of his top two skills. We'll check on that and tweet it out. But it was a great win, and to just keep capitalizing on this. The Bulls are 500 coming out of the break. After 2 disappointing losses, they've bounced back. So it's nice to see. Want to see them pick up another win against San Antonio tonight, and they should. I don't think as far as I know, nobody is out other than the usuals like Chandler Hutchison. I'm guessing he's not going to play. Garrett Temple, I don't think, is playing tonight either.
I think I saw they already ruled him out for the Spurs game.
Garrett Temple's out then. But other than that, we're running it back. Same lineup. Hopefully they can build off of this OKC win. And this is another one that, even though San Antonio's over 500, this is another winnable game for this Bulls team.
Absolutely. You know, I think, and players have talked about it this year, just the mentality compared to last year, they believe that every game is a winnable game. And I'm pretty sure that about halfway through the season last year, they stopped believing that entirely. And it was evident. And they were getting blown out a lot. The Spurs are a quality team. I think they probably have more wins at this point in the season than a lot of people anticipated. They've got some, you know, some interesting things going on with what do we want to do with DeRozan. You know, looks like, you know, they're working on a mutual parting of ways with LaMarcus Aldridge. So, you know, they're a team that's kind of in flux and in like a weird purgatory state right now, but they are also very much alive in the Western Conference playoff race. So a motivated team, certainly a more talented team than these last couple of, you know, shorthanded Raptors and Thunder squads that the Bulls have faced. So hopefully they can keep it going.
A week from tomorrow, NBA trade deadline is happening. And I'm guessing that the Bulls already this week, Matt, yesterday I talked a lot about some of the national rumors that were circled around the Bulls. And again, with nobody really knowing what the Bulls are going to do necessarily, and them not being really clear a couple weeks ago, it's going to end up with the Bulls being in a lot of rumors leading up to the trade deadline. And I'm excited, though, man, because I think this is going to give us our first opportunity to do our live locker room, and that's on the Locker Room app. This is fantastic. The Locker Room app and Locked On Podcast Network have made a partnership now where you sign up, download the app, sign up, and it's a live audio-only sports talk platform. So think of it like an Instagram or Twitter for audio, and you can join conversations live as they're happening, listening to hosts, different conversations on different topics. It's fantastic. Matt and I are planning on sometime this week to do an actual live episode where at one point in the episode towards the end, we're going to take live calls from you guys. So like we do our voicemails and text messages here weekly, you'll have the opportunity live to ask us questions and maybe do a little bit of a back and forth. I'm excited for this, and we're going to try to make this a weekly thing going forward. So very, very excited for Locker Room. It's free to download and you can use it. It's available for iOS only right now. You're going to be able to talk to me and Matt, and you can check out any of the other Locked On Podcast Network episodes on there. Live locker rooms every single day from different shows. So again, go download the Locker Room app in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and if you want to join the Bulls group, that's the one I'm a part of right now. The app is fantastic too. It's super clean, and we're excited to use it and excited for our first conversation and our first locker room chat. Follow us at Locked On Bulls, and you'll be notified when we go live. So make sure that you stay tuned to our Twitter, and maybe we'll even talk about it too in the next day or two when we plan to do that sometime later this week. So again, go download the Locker Room app on the iOS store today.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at just a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Just sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem there. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our Locked On Bulls listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, to receive your first free month. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
I got a G League guy in there.
Before we go to our mailbag, Matt, I got to ask you a couple of things just around the NBA really fast. First, Damian Lillard just doing nasty things last night.
Whew, man, that dude is special. I really enjoyed watching him and Steph go back and forth in the All-Star game a couple of weeks ago. And man, Dame is... That dude just performs,
man. He does this
that
every
dude,
year,
you know,
man. Every year
just
he,
so
like,
good.
He finds a way somewhere in the middle of the season to sneak himself right into the MVP conversation. It's a good timing too. CJ McCollum's coming back. But I also have to ask you too, have you been paying attention at all, like what's going on with the Kings? Because the Kings have been like self-destructing over the last couple of weeks. More notably, after their latest loss, De'Aaron Fox's postgame. So it's live on Facebook, and you can watch it and people can comment live. You want to guess who was commenting on De'Aaron Fox's live post game? Did you see this story?
No, I didn't. Please inform me.
Marvin Bagley's dad.
That was going to be my guess.
Dude, talk about having some real issues. The Sacramento Kings are going through it right now, and De'Aaron Fox just signing that new deal, that new extension too, and having a boatload of problems. I feel bad for Marvin Bagley too. He just fractured his hand. He's going to be out for, I think they said 6 to 10 weeks, so I don't even know if he'll be back if the Kings don't make the playoffs. And if he is, I don't know what he can contribute the rest of the season. That being said, though, they have some serious issues. And I bring this up because later today I'm going to go spend a few minutes with Locked On Kings hosts, and they're curious about potentially making a move for Lauri Markkanen. Let's throw it to you. Let's talk this out really fast. What would it take to trade Lauri Markkanen to the Kings? What would you want back in return? Would you want somebody like Harrison Barnes to shore up the three, and you can slot Patrick Williams at the four? you're basically paying the same money. Harrison Barnes is on, I think, 2 years left on his deal, around like $20 million. Would that be somebody you would want, or would you want a young player back or multiple young players back in return?
I honestly really like the idea of getting Barnes to just really, you know, firm up that wing spot, because right now we don't anticipate OPJ being long for this world. Whether or not he does get moved at the deadline, I still don't think that'll happen, but I don't see the Bulls bringing him back on a new contract. And Hutch, where is he? What's going on? We don't know. You don't really have any options. Denzel at the three long-term? No, thank you. By the way, a quick shout out to Denzel, who somehow in a Bulls 21-point victory in 11 minutes on the floor managed to be a minus 16 when pretty much the rest of the entire Bulls rotation were in the positives by double digits. So shout out Denzel.
Flex out of Denzel.
But plus minus is such a useless and irrelevant stat. I'm just teasing you guys. I'm just teasing. How do you get minus 16 in 11 minutes when your team wins by 23 or wins by 21? But back to the question at hand. I actually think that Harrison Barnes has gotten a bad rap after just, you know, leaving Golden State, where he was so you know, vital to that team's first title run and their 73-win season the following year. And, you know, people have been calling him overpaid. He's, you know, kind of just gone into the background a little bit. I think he's played really well this year, and he is absolutely a better option for the Bulls at the three than anything I see right now. So I would be interested if the Bulls were going to say, okay, we're trading Lowry, and we're going to talk to the Kings. I would absolutely want Barnes to be part of that conversation.
I'm thinking about too. I'm like looking at their roster, and there's nothing there that I would really want. I mean, there could be a conversation about Corey Joseph. He's somebody we talked about just a couple of years ago going into free agency as being your kind of stopgap veteran point guard. But
the guy who chose to retire instead of playing for the Bulls and then came out of retirement.
Yeah. Who was that? That was, I can picture him, but I can't think of his name. Who was that?
Wasn't that Corey Joseph?
No, Corey Joseph plays for the Kings. Remember, he played for the Pacers, different Pacers point guard. Who is that? Now that's going to bother me. I got to look that up.
Yeah, that's the name that I had connected in my brain to that story, but maybe it was somebody else.
Darren Collison. Darren Collison's who you're thinking of. He was also a Kings guard, too. So, okay, I can understand why he would get those confused.
There you go.
But Corey Joseph, no, he's got 1 year left on his deal, $12.6 million. He played pretty well to get that contract back a couple of years ago. They've got Tyrese Halliburton now, and they've got De'Aaron Fox on their long-term deal. So that would be a target if you're looking for to shore up your veteran point guard. But at that point, like, what are you doing? Like, are you flipping, like, Satoransky and Hutch for Corey Joseph? Is that what you're doing? Because, okay, it doesn't really move the needle for me.
Can we ask for Halliburton, too?
Seriously.
Maybe we could dupe the Kings into that?
I think the best move here, though, would be finding a way to be able to deal for Harrison Barnes for Lauri Markkanen. I think that would be the asking price if they were willing to make that deal. I don't even know if the Bulls would think about that. Like, would they think about adding Harrison Barnes for two more years and just letting Lowry walk instead of paying Lowry what Harrison Barnes is owed? Would you rather bank on the 2 years of developing Lowry and still banking on his ceiling and his potential at 23? Or would you rather just shore up what you've got? You've got a vet, Harrison Barnes, plug and play him, ready to go with him, Thad, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams. That's the biggest question. What do you think?
I mean, just trying to read the tea leaves of how AK has talked about Lowry. I mean, this could all be a moot conversation if it ends up that Lowry continues to play well. They don't trade him at the deadline and they work on a new deal. I mean, like, AK's comments from leading up to the All-Star break did not sound like someone who was ready to give up on Lowri Markkanen. And, you know, the immediate, you know, counter to that is, well, okay, he could have just been an executive talking up his player to increase said player's trade value. And yes, obviously that line of logic and thinking exists as well. But I don't know. I just got this feeling that AK is going to try to get the best out of Lowry. And maybe that, you know, maybe he feels we haven't seen that. And if that isn't the case and he is ready to move on from Lowry, and you're talking to this particular team about getting pieces and what you would try to get for a player who's on, an expiring rookie contract. I mean, the Kings, I think, with some of their organizational changes, aren't as dumb and dupable as they were a couple years ago. I mean, like, realistically, again, I would be totally down for Barnes. I don't think that the Bulls can flee Sacramento in a package that I would say this is the return for Lowry. Awesome. I would probably say this is the return for Lowry. Okay.
I'm with you. I agree on that. And the thing I'm thinking about, too, is they're going to have to blow part of that up, whether it be Bagley getting moved, whether it be Buddy Hield getting moved. Because that's the other storyline, is like Buddy Hield being unhappy for like the last 2 years. And I'm really liking his role. And he's signed for 3 more seasons. Top of De'Aaron Fox's extension. So they're kind of tied up with money right now and hanging in mediocrity. Would you flip, real quick, just thinking about it, would you flip Marvin Bagley for Lauri Markkanen? If they offered that, would you be okay with that?
Oh, man. I mean,
even with the fractured hand, knowing he would still be out, but you have a year, you have a year extra on his deal, not have to worry about having to sign him to a contract. You could play one more year with him.
I don't love that. I do not love that idea. But hey, then we could reunite Bagley and Wendell in the front court, right? What a great idea.
That didn't work in Duke. Well, the way at least they're... there's some dispute about the sharing of the ball and who was going to shoot at Duke. Remember all of that? Yeah, maybe that doesn't happen. But yeah, I think we agree. Like, if there is a deal to be had, Harrison Barnes makes the most sense. And I mean, you could even flip Otto too in that deal and include Corey Joseph in another piece. Like, that could be a framework of a deal. I'm okay even if they asked, like, hey, we need some front court help. How about Rashawn Holmes? What would you be willing to give up for Rashawn Holmes? He's on a 1-year deal, free agent at the end of the season, but he's been a rebound machine, man. That's exactly what the Bulls would need. And also a Lamont guy.
As I recall, Rajon Holmes bodied the hell out of the Bulls when they played. And yeah, Chicago guy. So that'd be cool. I would not mind at all to see Rajon Holmes in a Bulls jersey. Jordan, we wanted to do a little bit of mailbag before we got out of here today. Before we get to those voicemails and texts, wanted to tell everybody and remind everybody that you should be voting on Built Bar's March Madness. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best with Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, peanut butter going up against coconut marshmallow puff. I know I'm clearly voting peanut butter on this one. That's one of my favorite Built Bars that I've had so far. And I'm not a big coconut guy. So we'll see what happens. I got to say, I think peanut butter is the favorite in this matchup, but maybe coconut puff could pull off a surprise. Jordan, I'm on the road right now. I haven't had a Built Bar in like a week and I am fiending for one. Truly. I'm like, oh my God, I missed my daily Built Bar. Can't wait to get back home and stuff my face with some Built Bars. So cast your vote at BuiltBar.com for Built Bar Madness. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
It's funny. I just saw the other day Chris Tannehill came in with like 3 massive boxes worth of Built Bars. Those are the best things, man. I mean, they get me through a day. I swear by them. Stick them in the fridge too. It's a whole different ball game when they're chilled. That's a little tip. This episode is also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the go-to place to place all of your sports bets, your NBA bets. You want to bet on the tournament coming up this weekend, opening rounds starting on Friday. It's going to be crazy. You want to still bet on the NBA. You want to bet on the Bulls tonight against the Spurs. You can do that at betonline.ag. I've got a pick for you guys. So the last time I gave this out, it was a Wayne Ellington threes a few weeks ago, and that's absolutely hit and drained. So we're feeling lucky again tonight. We are going Patrick Williams, 15-plus points, and Jakob Poeltl, 15-plus points. Parlay those two for a 12-to-1 payout. So 12-to-1, put $10 down, you're going to win $120. So go to their website right now, sign up for an account today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll receive that 50% welcome bonus. So you want to deposit $100 down, they're going to give you 50 for free. Take that $50, play the parlay tonight. 50 times 12, I mean, have yourself a night. And I certainly think Patrick Williams can have a bounce back after going 1-for-9. And Jakob Poeltl has been steady this season and building on his offensive game, and the Bulls have just been atrocious as far as giving up points. So 12-1, not bad. Go to betonline.ag today. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's wrap with a couple voicemails, and I'm sure Matt and I will get to the rest of your voicemails. You guys have been filling up the text and voicemail line all week, so we'll definitely do a segment or two at the end of the week, taking more of your voicemails. 331-979-1369, the place to drop those. Let's go to the 831.
What's up, guys? Mitchell here, longtime fan, first time calling in. Just had a couple trade hypotheticals. I know your guys' favorite. So, first one, I was thinking Nickeil Alexander-Walker from New Orleans. I feel like he has a lot of upside, doesn't get a lot of playing time, has those couple times a year off the bench where he goes off, and then other than that, he just sits on the bench, gets no opportunities, so I feel like he can get him for cheap right now, and I feel like he can, you know, be part of your core moving forward. I don't know what you got to give up to get for him, but I feel like he has a lot of potential. And then the second one, I know this is a pipe dream, but Christian Wood from the Rockets, if you can get him, get some size on your team that everybody wants. I know he just signed with the Rockets, you know, kind of unrealistic, but I'd be down to give up any of the young guys except for Patrick Williams and Zach LaVine, of course. Kobe, Lowry, Wendell, you can have them. I don't care. I don't feel like they'll be contributors in the playoffs crunch time like Christian Wood can be. And I feel like he'd be great pick and roll, like with Zach, all that. Maybe give up like the late first or whatever, but, you know, I feel like that'd be great for the Bulls, but I don't know. Get it, keep it course, and have a good one. Thanks, bro.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. Matt, I have to mention this since he brought up Christian Wood really fast. You know who was super spot on about Christian Wood in Bulls Twitter? Like, way before anybody was, and said the Bulls should have signed him 2.5 years ago.
Who's that?
It was Coach Ron, man. Coach Ron gets a lot of hate for the Zach LaVine takes, but he was spot on about Christian Wood 2.5 years ago when he was, I think he was cut from Milwaukee, and that started the effect of him going to a bunch of different teams, or maybe it was Detroit. Regardless, he was right on him. He's like, the Bulls could use him. He's a buy low with a high ceiling, and look at him now. But the only thing I would question about Christian Wood, and then we could talk about the other trade hypothetical for Nickeil Alexander-Walker, is that dude hasn't shown that he can stay on the floor and be healthy for a full season. He's been banged up the last couple of years as well. So I don't know what, I don't think the Rockets would be willing to deal him unless you're talking about Lowry Markkanen and Kobe White. Then maybe that's a conversation starter, but he's valuable right now to that Rockets team.
Yeah, he's very valuable to them. I mean, like, jokingly, you could even talk about, should Christian Wood's name be mentioned in top 10 MVP voting? Because look what happened to the Rockets when he went down. They lost 17 straight games after his injury. That's bonkers. It's not a very good, you know, Rockets squad, obviously, now in the post-Harden era, and this weird combo of Oladipo and Wall, and people have missed time. But they lost 17 straight games after he went down. Clearly, he's valuable to them. And I think, you know, the John Wall and Oladipo thing, that's just short term. That's just kind of like, all right, well, we're punting this season. Maybe we'll be competitive and maybe we'll not. And clearly not. So, yes, love Christian Wood. I agree with you, though. The injury concerns are a little bit of an alarm bell, especially for Bulls fans who are so sick of our young players or any players being hurt constantly. And it's part of the reason why this young team hasn't really had a great opportunity to gel yet. They're starting to with a new coach and a new system, but you got to keep your guys on the floor. So, you know, I would definitely be intrigued, but I would say that Houston has some plans for Christian Wood.
Keep this name in the back of your mind over the next week. Justin Patton. He was a project for Mark Eversley with the 76ers. He's recently come back and actually played halfway decent for that Rockets team. That could be a buy low. We need some depth in our front court, and it might not cost you anything. It might cost you just flipping Chandler Hutchison. If he can't get in Billy Donovan's rotation as it is already, why not? And Justin Patton, I think, is making like league minimum. I think he's making like 200, 250K, so it would be nothing. That could be a potential move. Keep that in the back of your mind. But outside of that, man, yeah, I don't see the Rockets giving him up. He's valuable and his contract's valuable. You'd have to be talking about Carter and Markkanen or Markkanen and Kobe White, and that's probably getting you in the conversation for him. And I don't know, a couple of other pieces. What about Nikhil Alexander-Walker? That's interesting. It's opposite of what everybody's been saying about the Pelicans wanting to either deal J.J. Redick or Lonzo Ball to free up space for him and Kier Lewis Jr. Again, it's going to cost you probably Markkanen and some, no?
Yeah, I mean, and last thought, if Justin Patton comes back to the Bulls, he's got to take 45, right? He's got to take number 45, his triumphant return, his second stint with the Bulls.
yes, that's so true. Yes.
Bulls legend Justin Patton. I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, like, you just hit it on the head, man. What we've been hearing when we got those reports a couple weeks ago that the Pelicans are, you know, floating Lonzo out there, they are offering him up in potential trades. One of the big reasons is because they wanted more minutes for Walker and for Lewis Jr. So, I mean, if the Pelicans recently just decided to 180 and maybe keep Lonzo as part of their plans along with Zion and Ingram, and maybe they have because Lonzo's played fairly well, shooting surprisingly well, certainly compared to expectations, maybe they have flipped the script on how they see that playing out, and maybe they want to keep Lonzo now, but it's still a guy that you have to negotiate with this offseason if you keep him. And you know, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, great piece. Like, I agree with Mitchell, our caller, would love to see that player in a Bulls jersey. I mean, I would be surprised if New Orleans let him go. But I also think that Mitchell isn't crazy to say, you know, aside from protecting Zach and P-Dub, you know, take your pick. Who do you want, New Orleans? Would love to get that kid. Take your pick from our collection of young players. And I think that's kind of how I would approach it if I were the Bulls front office over the next, you know, week as talks start to heat up. If there's somebody out there that they really want, everyone other than Zach and P-Dub should be up for grabs.
New Orleans is an interesting team too, because there's multiple pieces that could benefit both sides, right? We've talked about Steven Adams before. We talked about Lonzo Ball, but even secondary pieces that you could take a chance on if they're willing to talk about Jackson Hayes, including him in a deal. He seems like a guy that fits the system that Billy Donovan wants to run, the type of players that AK and Mark Eversley want to mold here in Chicago. He would be a buy low candidate too and needs some developing as well, but that would be something in addition to a bigger deal. But there's multiple pieces there. They've talked about Eric Bledsoe being open for trade discussions as well. I just don't know if I'm sold on the fact that the Pelicans want to trade Lonzo now. The fact that him and Zion have played so well over the last month together, Lonzo's looked really good, Zion's looked really good. Do you want a chance taking a step backwards this summer, or are you willing to pay Lonzo this summer? That's going to be the question. I think we get a clear answer in a week.
Yeah, and it's crazy that is how quickly we're coming up on it now. And, you know, we saw a trade earlier today, the Trevor Ariza-Myers-Leonard swap. So, you know, maybe we'll start to see more deals rolling through over the coming days. But again, like we've always said since AK came to town, whatever happens, I think a majority of Bulls fans will be surprised, because dude's really, really hard to read and we don't know what's going on. But that's okay. It's like, I trust them. I am putting my faith in them. And it's okay that I don't know what's going to happen, as opposed to either fearing the worst, expecting the worst, and not knowing what's going to happen when the old regime is here.
What's happening? Yes, I am, man.
That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for listening. Again, go download the Locker Room app on the iOS store. We will tweet stuff out and let you guys know later this week throughout the episodes when we are going to go live. Hopefully, if everything works out, we can actually do a live episode. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to interact with you guys and for the first time, maybe take like live callers per se and have a conversation, and you can listen live to us doing the episode and you don't have to wait for it to be in your feeds. But for now, go to any podcast platform. Make sure you're subscribed. If you want to give us a 5-star review, that helps us out a ton. Take 60 seconds. Just let us know how you like the show. If you're somebody who's listened for the first time last couple of weeks. Maybe you're somebody who's listened for the last 3-4 years. Go give us a review. It helps us out, and we appreciate you guys so much. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line if you want to drop us your trade hypotheticals, 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.